Welcome to 6-Bit Storybooks, a podcast that encourages you to slow down, absorb the beauty around you, and love the moment you can create. This podcast shares reflections from me, your hostess Melissa, and friends who have genuine passion for what they make and for sharing themselves with you. So steal a few moments out of your day to allow others to pour into you and enrich your creative spirit. Bit by bit by bit. And yes, all those bits add up. Welcome, friends, to episode 18, where you get to hear from Nikki and Maria, the two talented women behind Fern Fiber. I can't wait for you to meet them. At the end of today's podcast, I will share with you how you can receive an educational botanical PDF they prepared for you. In case you've ever been interested in plants, their personalities and purposes on yarn and in the wild. So be sure to stay tuned. Before we chat with them, I'd like to welcome new listeners. I'd love to know your story. You can email me at hellomelissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at 6bitsstorybooks.com. You can tag me on Instagram too and show me what it looks like in your part of the world. I love that. I'm mskiknits. And if you like what you hear, leave a review on iTunes and you'll be entered in our monthly yarn giveaway. And by the way, all of that I shared is for new listeners and those of you who've been around a while. So let's get started, shall we? Well, I am very thankful that today, on a beautiful day, I am joined with two lovely ladies who are very talented, and that would be Maria Muscarella and Nikki Solomon. And you two lovely ladies are together in Western North Carolina, isn't that true?
Yep, we are. We're hanging out today right now doing some dyeing, actually.
Where are you all located?
We live basically right around Asheville. Both of us probably about 10 or 15 minutes outside of Asheville in different directions.
Oh, so it is probably a little chilly up there where you guys are today.
It is a little chilly today. Yeah, probably in the low 40s. This morning there was a little ice on the road, so.
I'm down at the beach, as a lot of the listeners know, that I'm on the other side of the state. And one thing that I think is so incredible about the state of North Carolina is through the length of it, which it is such a wide state, there is so much diversity. So you guys are in a different area, and I was wondering if each of you would take a minute just to kind of describe in your own words what you see in the area around Asheville and in your respective little spots that you call home that you think it makes it unique for your just kind of the way it feeds you creatively.
Sure. I grew up in Miami, Florida. This is Maria. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of buildings and concrete and people. We moved to the Asheville area when I was 13, and I was immediately taken by just the green and the lushness of this area. And it's really hard to describe how it feels because I've been to mountains in other areas, but there's something about these mountains that feel like they're hugging you. It feels safe and secure in this area. And, you know, you can go almost anywhere and find a beautiful hike with lush forests or, you know, fields of flowers or waterfalls. It's just beautiful. And both Nikki and I have training as herbalists. And so this area is also one of the most diverse herbal areas in the world, which is a lot of fun for us because we get to go outside and play with all the plants all the time. But yeah, it just feels like home. It feeds your soul in this area.
So that's Maria's take. Nikki, what do you think about the area as far as kind of fostering a bit of creativity from the outside into you?
Yes, I was drawn to these mountains about 12 to 13 years ago, and it was definitely just the mountains brought me here, and they just have this gentle, kind of what Maria was mentioning, mothering, surrounding, hugging feeling towards them, and they have this beautiful blue glow if you look at the ridgeline. So every day when I drive into town and take my children places and to school, just that every day I'm just in awe of these mountains and seeing that blue glow, the nature. It's just like a nature's paradise, with the mountains and the forest. And I did come here mainly to study herbs and just to be submerged in this environment with all the plants and the trees and the flowers. It just has a very magical feeling in the forest here. Lots of green. So I'm constantly inspired. Even the winter trees now are beautiful in a different way. So every season is just is different and beautiful and just always glowing.
Now, you both mentioned that your background is as herbalists. Mm-hmm. And is that how you two met and connected? Do you guys mind sharing with us the story of the that great moment where you meet and you just fall in love with each other's personalities, and then all of a sudden now you're saying, hey, I think we could dye yarn together.
Well, Nikki and I actually both trained as nurses first, and she was working two floors above me in the same hospital, and we never met. She worked in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care, and I worked in labor delivery. And we ended up meeting at herb school. We'd both studied at a bunch of different schools. There are a lot of herb schools in our area. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to want to keep going to any new programs that happen because they're just so much fun. But I think she was in her third program when we met up and just realized we had a lot in common, you know. And at the time, for both of us, I think it was just knitting as far as fibers related. But, you know, there was nursing, there was family, you know, our love for many different things, and we just hung out a lot and did fibery related things until we both realized we were also doing natural dyeing on the side and started doing that together.
And now that's what I'd like to chat with a little bit, and Nikki, maybe you can unpack that for us, is the fact that you guys have this background as people who know how to utilize plants and use them to help us as a healthy individual. But you guys also take plants and use them for us to use very naturally with your dyeing. Can you just share with me how having a background, knowing a lot about plants, how that has really enriched the way you guys dye and your understanding? Or do you still find the plants have one up on you, that you're picking these plants and you're thinking, oh, I love these, and you stick them in a dye pot and they are just surprising you because they are not going according to your imaginings?
Yes, well, that definitely happens every time we dye. We don't always know exactly what we're going to get, but in general, we had a pretty good background in plant identification. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of harvesting and making medicines with plants, so you know, we had to know exactly what we were taking from gardens and forests to get the proper medicine that we were looking for and to know its quality. So that definitely has helped in identifying plants. But it's definitely a surprise not knowing exactly the color you're going to get. It's new trying to figure out exactly how much of a plant material we need. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we realize maybe, wow, we could have used maybe twice as much of this plant material. But I feel like having that deep connection with the plants that we've kind of started with has helped us to kind of connect with the plants now. And instead of helping, we still use plants to help the families and our bodies, but now putting that into our yarns. So I do feel like that's been very helpful to kind of bring it full circle.
Oh, yeah. I think that's, for me, just it's like that light bulb moment. It's that you guys both had an opportunity to study and use a skill set that you were taking in one direction, and yet that direction could be widened and encompass a lot more. I mean, it's great to be able to have medicinal help from herbs, from plants, and to also enjoy them, you know, not just to take them in and also to have them around your home inside and outside, but you guys use them. Now, when you use the plants to do what you guys do, I'm sure there's a lot of thoughtfulness in your approach to it. Do you mind sharing today's, kind of today's happenings? Because you guys got together today to do a bit of dyeing, and can you just briefly walk us through what fun that must have been and also what work looks like for you both?
Sure. We are trying some new yarns. So we found, you know, researched the yarns and kind of tested a few yarns with samples that we decided to use. And so to prepare the yarns, we morted them, which we did the past few days to get them ready to take in this dye material. And when we gathered, we started getting our dye pots prepared with, we did collect some rainwater to do some madder root, which is a lot of fun to dye with because there's so many different colors that you can experiment with. And every time it turns out different than we're planning.
Right.
So we used rainwater over this week. We've had a lot of rain lately. So we gathered some rainwater to use with our madder root. And we have shifted to using, with a few of our new bases, we're trying to use some botanical extracts just to get that less. The timing, and it's also easier in the winter months when we can't harvest a lot of the herbs and plant material. So today the madder was an extract that we were using a powder form. So we prepared the dye bath and put our yarns in there. And this one has given us a little bit of surprises today. So
as madder always does.
It's always.
It's finicky.
It's a finicky plant, which we love, and it can produce just the most beautiful red, and we're having a hard time getting that red today. So we've taken out the yarn, so we've added different modifiers
to try and alter it.
So we're still working on that one.
Yeah, can I ask real quick, just to be a fly on the wall, you two are friends, you have a great love for what you're doing. You both are in this together, which I'm excited to hear about how the actual business end fell together. But just to unpack today. So you've got your yarn in there. You're thinking, okay, the red is what we want. Yay. And you're watching and there's no red. What is your response to that? Are you guys just like, okay, how do we fix this? Or, oh, isn't this lovely? Let's try to use it. Or what are some of the things that happened today when you were noticing that the matter is deciding it wants to do its own thing, almost like a, you know, your 2-year-old child sometimes doesn't want to just do what you say.
It was both. I think we look at it and say, well, that's a very pretty salmon-y color, but what can we do to this, or should we do anything? You know we can get that salmon color. We have no problem with that, but matter likes a certain hardness in the water. It likes a certain amount of chemicals or like elements in the water. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like being little scientists today. So we explored a little more and experimented with different things and, you know, trying to get what we wanted out of it. But usually it's fairly, you know, unless, I don't know if we've ever gotten a color that we were both like, oh, wow, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, natural, because that's the thing about natural dyeing is, they're all such beautiful colors, whether you get a fuchsia from cochineal or you get, you know, a brown from black walnut. They're all just really beautiful variations mm-hmm. of the rainbow. And I don't think we've ever gotten one that we've been like, yeah, we can't use that. So, you know, often we'll take a look and just decide whether or not that's the color we want to put in the store or if we want to experiment some more.
Okay, well, I had interrupted you just because I was curious. But so you're at back where you were, you're looking, the matter is not quite what you wanted, so you guys adjusted. And then what happens? So is the matter being cooperative now? Or are you guys just laughing about the way the change has kind of taken you guys in a different direction?
We think we've got it just about where we want it now, so yeah. That's good.
It's still over there simmering, but it's close.
Yeah.
So from start to finish, how long would you say you're? I don't think people realize that, you know, dyeing yarn isn't just which it can be because there's mm-hmm. so many different ways, but you guys aren't just dipping it in something and pulling it out the color you want, hanging it up and letting it dry. This is a quite involved process. Can you
Right. It's a much more involved process. I've used acid dyes before and you know, I could put a little powder in and mix it up and it's a fairly quick process comparatively. Mm-hmm. If we are using harvested, say we've harvested the matter ourselves because we have some matter that we're growing, mm-hmm. That matter would have to sit for a couple of days macerating in water before it starts, you know, there's the harvesting, there's the chopping and the macerating or sitting, soaking in the water, and then the cooking or actual dyeing process. So if you talk about from the start of actually harvesting, it could be, you know, a 3 or 4 day process to get the result of the color you want. It's the same with cochineal. You might simmer and strain it 4 or 5 times, the same amount of cochineal, before you get the color and the depth of color you want in the water. So, you know, dyeing is usually, even just the act of simmering the water and dyeing is usually a full day process, and that doesn't include the prep beforehand. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that even matter root has to grow in the earth for 2 years.
3 years.
3 years, yeah. Before you can harvest it. So it's a long process.
Wow. So when you guys say that you're planting some to grow and harvest yourself, is that completely for your work? Or so are you guys intentionally setting aside spaces on your land to grow things?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have indigo and other dye plants that we grow, but the matter, because it takes a full 3 years to grow large enough roots, that has its own space right now. The indigo we grew last year and we were able to harvest and dye some fresh, which was beautiful and a lot of fun. That was a really fun process because you really get your hands in there, not just harvesting, but squeezing the leaves and watching the color change and, you know, your hands turn blue and everything. It's a lot of fun.
That's a fun process.
We're planning on, you know, this is our first year. We started on the spring equinox this past March. So mm-hmm. it's been definitely a learning year for us, but we are leaning towards now. We have kind of two directions that we're going with our yarns. One is the yarns that we purchased from companies that we are trying to get are either organic merino or U.S. grown merino or fibers that come from as close to us as we can and are done as low chemical as possible. And we'll dye those more with extracts or things that we may have purchased. We also have the yarns that we buy the fleece from local farmers that we know their sheep and the names of their sheep. We gather those fleece and we bring it to local mills. We have 3 local mills around here within about 2 hours of us. We'll bring them to the mills, have it spun up, get to know the people who run the mills, and then we will dye those with the plants that we have gathered and grown from around us. So it's local fleece, locally spun, locally dyed with plants we've grown. So because it takes a lot more effort and a lot more plant material to dye with fresh plants, we try and reserve that for those super special yarns.
Now, I'd like to take just kind of a sidestep. We'll come back and learn a bit more about, you know, the spring equinox and you starting the business and the two of you having this great almost year so far, which, you know, it's almost time for an anniversary, which is fabulous.
Yes.
But if we could just take a step to the side, because there are some people that are listening now that we're all in different places in our journeys. And I think it would be remiss if we just automatically assume that everyone listening is going to either buy organic or local or big box, or someone might think their local is actually being able to go to this big store and get yarn. And so I think through chatting and sharing and opening without, of course, any condescending attitudes, I think that sharing of knowledge really helps people to determine where they want to take the next part of their journey. And so if we could, for just a moment, talk a little bit about what I heard you mention about wanting to have a closeness in proximity. You mentioned, you know, you have local farmers and local mills, but not just in proximity, but it sounds like, you know, if you know the sheep's name, there is a closeness relationally. So can you guys, without me interrupting or anything like that, can you talk in a way that kind of shares with us on a deeper level, especially for those of us who have never thought past that skeiny yarn that we can grab when we're at the Everything Mart, which isn't bad. I mean, if that's where you are in your place in this world and you haven't thought bigger than that, then now's a good opportunity for someone to hear a fresh perspective. So can you guys share the love and the excitement that you have for the closeness of spatially on the map? You know, this person and this place is close to me, and that is important because why? And also fostering relationships with those people. Or was that too much?
No, not at all. It's a deep question.
Well, we have another 15 minutes, and if you want to spend that completely on this answer, I will be a happy woman.
Well, it is not to say that I'm not going to buy yarn if I think it's beautiful from an indie dyer out in the UK or something, you know?
Sure.
Because I remember someone said once, you know, when we foster buying local in our community, it helps the community. However, the world, this earth is our community.
Yes.
You know, so
absolutely.
Just because I'm purchasing something from far away does not mean I'm not fostering, because I'm helping them out too. But
sure.
It's just something special when I receive a skein of yarn from a farm where I can see a picture of the sheep that has produced this fleece. I might learn a little about their personality from the farmer, or, you know, their silly quirks, or how old they are, or, you know, how many babies they've had. And then I knit this up into something that that comforts or warms or, you know, surrounds me or someone else that I gift it to. Mm-hmm. There's something more in it. It's extra special. You know, when you get any knitted gift from anyone, even if they buy the yarn from a big box store, it's a beautiful gift because of the time that goes into that knitting.
It sure is.
But when you get it and then you know this was knitted and given, you know, this was knit from a sweet little alpaca whose name was Charlie, and Charlie's 4 years old and his favorite food is carrots, you know, I don't know, it just... There's just something more special in it, and it makes it feel, I don't know, it warms your heart.
Sure.
And so for us to know, and we are giving these farmers an opportunity, many of them an opportunity to share their fleece in a way that they wouldn't have.
Sure.
Because many of them, one of the farmers recently that we purchased from was like, wow, I didn't know I could do this. He has a lot of meat sheep. And some of the sheep that he had were not, but he needed to shear them. And I was like, this is gorgeous fleece. You could create something with it. And we ended up knitting he and his wife hats for the winter.
Aww.
Like a thank you. And they were just in tears. They were like, this is amazing. We didn't, you know, that now they can have this hat, keep them warm while they're in the field working with their sheep.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Do you want
to? Yes, I guess. For me, when I think about that connection, it kind of feels, everything just feels more alive, and having that energy of the place where it came from and the story, kind of like when we used to make medicines, and just feeling that herbal medicines, that aliveness in your body, just feeling the vitality, thinking about the land and the plants or whatever food that the animals are eating or grazing upon. Like if you see the meadow and the mountains in the background, you just have that picture in your head, and you think about the farmer who cared for those sheep, and the person who came to shear the sheep, and then the people who washed and cared for the wool, and whether it was spun by one of us or if it was spun by a local mill, just having all those hands in the process, it seems like it just brings a lot of that vital energy into the yarn. So I think just kind of like the earth, the soil, the sun, the rain, all those aspects, to me, just you can just feel that in the yarn. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even talk about the, you know, even thinking about the plants that then we've collected and dyed. Dyed the yarn and put that into the yarn.
Right. It'll like have it their special energy and healing medicine in them too.
Yeah, so That is healing. just like the knitting for me is healing and meditative, and it just all of that seems to kind of come full circle.
Yeah, it seems like it deepens the story. And not to say that, and that wasn't a hot topic question. I wasn't trying to entrap you guys at all. I really think that that sometimes people don't have the chance to hear from the hearts of other people why something is so important to them. And not to say that one thing is better than the other. It's just different.
Right. Right.
But I think as I'm listening to you, I'm just hearing that it deepens and it really layers the story a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it slows you guys down, which I'm all for that. I love the idea of people slowing down and connecting with those people around them.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys mind sharing with us just a bit about how this first year has gone for each of you? Kind of the best moments and some of the best lessons learned, or some of the ones that stand out to you, perhaps?
Sure. I think some more of what stood out for me is the gathering of plants, indigo in particular. I remember a very hot day here at Maria's house, and we were harvesting indigo with her children. And you kind of have to do it in a quick process because you need to put it in ice so it stays cold. And it was really hot, and we were kind of hiding under her tall sunflowers in between. Like, let me step in the sun for a moment and cut some indigo and then step back in the shade. And there's that process, and we mashed it with our hands, and we just seeing that blue color come out was just a really magical experience. And the yarns turned out absolutely beautiful and as we expected. So for me, being more connected with the plants this year I've just really loved that process and seeing the results with the yarn. And just kind of reaching out into the community has been really special too, meeting farmers and other, and I think in this area, a lot of fiber community is happening right now, trying to make connections, with groups. And, so I think that's been really wonderful. I guess challenging aspects, I think for me, tangled, re-skeining yarn, it gets a little frustrating. I love the process when you've done skeining the yarn that fluffs up and blooms really nicely. There's a few times where it gets a little tangled and it's a long process. So that can be a little challenging at times. But otherwise, I've really enjoyed the time with Maria and the time with the plants and seeing what happens on the yarns. And just being with fiber has been really fun. And to know that this is our job and we love it. And it's really, I feel really thankful to have this year.
What about you, Maria?
It's been amazing. and I think we have bloomed as a business a lot more than we thought. We actually, we owned an apothecary and herbal clinic for a few years together. And
this is a next phase for you guys' friendship. You guys have actually been working together for some time.
Yeah,
we've known each other. This story even more. I'm sorry, I interrupted. You've been together how long? I'm sorry.
Over 10 years. I think we met when my daughter was just about to turn 3, and now she's just about to turn 13, so it's been 10 years. But yeah, after we went through the program that we met in, the herbal program, we had a clinic for a few years, and then Nikki got pregnant with her first, and I got pregnant with my second, and it just seemed like motherhood needed to be what we were doing at the time and not trying to see clients and run a business. So we ended up closing it down. But so we were prepared with when we started this, how do we want to do it similarly, or how do we want to change things as far as the business model and all of that? And we were also prepared for a slow start, that it might take a while, to get the word out there, or we may have to restructure things, and it kind of exploded. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really exciting. We've met so many amazing people, amazing designers and knitters and, people from all over the fiber community. And we've been having a fabulous time. And actually, that's probably been the hardest thing for me is time management, because all I want to do is more dyeing and knitting, and I homeschool my kids. And
I do too. And it's quite a thing to juggle.
Right. Yeah. Because, I've been trying to say, okay, from this time to this time during the day, I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to look at my computer. I'm not going to do anything related to fiber. Mm-hmm. It's your time. We're going to do, whether we're actually doing book work or we're reading together or doing handwork or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just for the kids, and that's been helpful. Because before that, I would be like, okay, let me just get this pot on the stove and stick this yarn in, and then we'll do math. And that, it didn't work so well. So that's probably been my biggest challenge, because things are growing more quickly, I think, than we were expecting, and so we're needing to put in more time than we thought we would have to. So that's been one of the reasons why we've decided that we can't feasibly use harvested plants with all of our yarns, because we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. But as far as all the beautiful things, it makes me remember when I'm thinking about the positive things that have happened over this past year. One of the first times that Nikki and I got together to dye in this past year when we were at her house and we were actually playing around with red cabbage, which doesn't hold its color well on yarn, but we had a lot of cabbage, so we wanted to play around with it. And we video recorded ourselves adding a little bit of baking soda to see what color it would change. And you should have heard us. We were like kids in a candy store. It was so funny. The color went from this purple to a blue, and we were just like, oh my God, you know, jumping down and screaming because it fizzled because it was baking soda. And we were just giddy. And there are so many times when we get together where it's like, you know, yes, there's the mundane business work stuff that we have to take care of. But when we get behind the pots and we're adding the color, we're like children, you know. Oh my gosh, look at that red, or ooh, I didn't expect that color, you know, like little witches over our brew pots.
Well, speaking of kids, before we talk, because I have it on my note card, I'm taking notes as you guys are talking about, because there's so many things I want to talk about, and I hope that I can chat with you both again. That's my hope. I've got my fingers crossed. But mm-hmm. Before we talk about all the great things you have ahead, I'd like to just, from a personal homeschooling mom who cherishes the moment that you can have with your kids and family in general, how has it been for you all? Do you find yourselves sharing a lot of these aha, if not most of these aha moments, and these times together, both of you working hard as entrepreneurs? Are you sharing that with the kids? And if so, how do you share that?
We're trying to in some ways, and in other ways we have to separate it.
Sure.
This is actually the first time that we've gotten together to do dyeing where the kids are not around. Usually we get our families together. Our husbands are really good friends. We'll, you know, just all play together in the house. And in the past couple of times we've done that, Nikki and I have realized that it's actually been kind of hard to focus on some of the paperwork stuff we need to do, whether it's, you know, writing up a new description of a base or, you know, a yarn base or something related to the website. It'll be, you know, if all the families are around, then we're seen as moms who are dying, mm-hmm. as opposed to business women who are moms, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
Needed to separate that and say, okay, today has got to be a business day. Even though Nikki and I are playing our hearts out and having a grand time with colors, we can't always include the family in that, because then if there is a, you know, more of a business aspect we have to take care of, then it makes it harder. But I want my kids to have this knowledge. I want them to, whether or not they decide to go anywhere with it, I want them to know this information about plants. Whether it's the medicine that's in the plants or the colors that are in the plants or how to knit or any of that. So, you know, we'll both try and sit down and mm-hmm. and give our kids time to absorb a little of this knowledge and see if they want to go anywhere with it. But when it comes to business now, we're trying to take a little separate time outside of family to make that happen.
And how did that go today? Nikki, did you enjoy that? Was that like, oh my gosh, I feel like a completely liberated woman?
I did. It was a little more to have that headspace. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was summertime and we were out harvesting plants, it'd probably be a different story. You know, we take them along over the summer months. But in the winter, when it's a little harder to get out and we need that quiet indoor space, it just makes the process go a little smoother, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, they usually love to be in the gardens. We've taken them with Indigo. In Indigo harvesting. Mm-hmm. So they have definitely come along with us up until, I guess, kind of today.
Yeah. And when we were harvesting our Hopi sunflower seeds, it's a black, black sunflower seed. In fact, as I'm talking, my little 6-year-old is just about to run through the door. But when we were harvesting the sunflower seeds, the seed, you know, when you pop it out of the sunflower head, the seed will turn your hands purple. And my little boy absolutely loved that. And he participated in every way he could with those sunflower seeds because it was so much fun.
Yes, my kids did that. Helped me over the summer, and they loved picking out the sunflower seeds. So that was a lot of fun to get them to help us with preparing some of the herbs.
Yeah.
Well, that's great that you guys can actually have moments that you're incorporating the kids, but still feel that freedom that, you know what, the kids aren't going to fall apart if we set aside time to really focus on things on our own. I think that that's great that you guys have such a good balance. Now, before we go, because I heard the little footsteps. Isn't that the sweetest sound ever when you can hear? I love that sound. Oh, and they grow so fast. They grow so fast. Cherish those sounds. Can you tell us briefly, you guys have had a lot of stuff going on. There have been quite a few things that I know you guys are excited to just kind of not toot your own horn, but to share with us so we can hear things that you're excited about.
Sure. We're coming up with some new bases for our yarns, and we're going to name them and write up kind of how they, I guess, make us feel and what they resemble that we will always have in the shop. And I guess those are the bases we're working on to kind of figure out, you know, we'll always have these available. And we have just sent some local fiber to a mill the past few weeks, so those should be coming up. We have some Shetland and some Suffolk alpaca, and possibly like an Icelandic, what else was in there? It was a mix. Mm-hmm. So that might be like a thicker Lopi yarn. We're not sure yet.
And we've had a lot of designers, too.
Yes. Yeah. You can talk about those designers.
Yeah, we've had three or four, more than that, I think, designers who have been using the fern fiber yarn and some of their new designs, and it's just been it's been really amazing to see their designs out there with our yarns in them. It's a really special feeling, and so that's been very exciting. And we had a magazine, Taproot magazine, contact us this past fall to have some of our yarn in their pop-up shop for the winter, which was really special. So those have been really wonderful moments, because it's not just us in our little Etsy store anymore. It feels like the yarn is really getting out there and people are getting to experience it, which, you know, when we send a yarn to Australia or see a designer come up with a design, something beautiful in from their own mind, it's really amazing.
Yeah. Before you guys go, is there something that is in the very immediate future that you guys are just beyond excited about that you haven't shared, that you want to just, even if you just want to allude to it and don't give away the whole thing, or is there something that you guys are doing that that you just are so stoked about at this very moment?
Well,
everything.
Yeah. New colors with our new extracts. We're excited to see how those turn out.
Yeah, one of them has sparkle in the yarn, which I'm excited about.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah. And I'm actually heading to the UK in a couple of weeks with my husband, who has some business meetings there. And so I'm really excited to get to feel some fleece over there. I'm hoping to find some farm. Be able to see what, you know, some of the UK breeds are.
So if listeners want to go and find you guys online at Fern Fiber, what are some things they can find in your shop?
Well, right now we have a couple of yarns left from the previous year of dyeing. I think we have like an alpaca indigo and some yarns dyed with cochineal. And then we'll be having an update hopefully within a couple weeks of the yarns we're dyeing today. So right now we don't have a whole lot in there, but when these come out, we'll have some yarns in each one of our new bases. We have five new bases. So that'll be exciting. And the colors will be, today we're dyeing with Madder, Well,
and Lockwood.
And Goldenrod.
Yep. So we'll have four different colors. And we do have in our store some of our local fleece left, just a few skeins of each. Because we're dying in such small batches, things go pretty quickly, but we try and get together every month or so, at least to get a little dyeing done.
That makes me want to go back over there. I like going around and looking in your shop. So, Well, thank you two so much for this time that you've spent
with
us. And thank you. I look forward to having you guys on again, maybe as individuals, to talk about your little creative spaces that you have.
That would be fun.
Yes, thank you so much.
My hope is that you enjoy today's podcast. If you are in the U.S., text FernFiber18, FernFiber18, to number 44222. So text the number, you send the text to 44222, and what you text is FernFiber18, and you'll receive the helpful and free learning tool Nikki and Maria created just for you. You can also visit our website, www.sixbitsstorybooks.com, to download your copy. Simply go to the podcast tab and look for episode 18. Before we leave today, I want to share with you a bit of news regarding a team member of 6bits that you met in the newest issue of 12. Hannah is featured on the cover, and she's wearing Linden, and she's just so perfectly wonderful. Hannah has worked in front of and behind the camera, and now has quite a challenge ahead of her. In the early weeks of March, she will undergo brain surgery to remove a portion of her brain. As she also struggles with heart and blood issues, this surgery is made all the more complicated. But love, prayer, and kindness can build a person up in so many ways that even heavy, overwhelming situations can be made. They can be made all the better. So, if you'd like to join with us as we knit hats for Hannah, sorry guys, please visit the 6bits blog and read more. Hannah will be sharing hats that she receives with others at the hospital. But all that info is up on the blog, and I earnestly ask that you give it a read and perhaps even help spread the opportunity. Some folks may be inspired to knit with us. Some to knit for others in their own area, which is just fabulous. It's so important to help your own community. Some people aren't going to be able to knit with us, and that's totally fine. But they may be able to just share the chance for others to get involved. I am so thankful for you, dear listener. If you've messaged me in the last week or two, I'm sorry that my attention has been focused on other things, especially this, and I will be getting in touch with you very soon. Friends, until next week, mahalo nui for joining today. And remember, take time to look at the work of your hands this week and cheer for yourself with the same joy that you do for others. You deserve that too.